Next Curve.
Hey everyone, welcome to Next Curve's Rethink webcast and our analyst corner. I'm Leonard Lee, executive analyst at Next Curve. Welcome to this episode of Silicon Futures, where we cover the stuff happening in the semiconductor industry. And of course, we focus only on the things that matter. And that's why I have my good friend here, Carl Freund, who is the founder and principal analyst at Cambrian Dash AI Research LLC, and he's a leading analyst covering the semiconductor industry with a particular focus on AI. And we're collaborating on the series, which we hope will go on forever, on AI and semiconductors. And in this episode, we're going to talk about AI PC because Carl insisted.
I did. Doing,
Carl?
I, you know, the weird thing is I'm not a PC guy. I'm actually a Mac guy.
But
my business is all focused on data center. But I couldn't help but noticing there's a lot of stuff going on in AI PC that I thought your followers might be interested in hearing about.
Yeah. I mean, it's been the talk of 2023 and going into 2024, yeah. Right? Especially with... I think in particular, Intel getting into the fray just simply because they just have the size and the scale, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all four chip vendors, Apple, Intel, AMD, and Qualcomm, all four chip vendors that focus on PCs, I should say, yeah. All of a sudden have AI PCs. At least they claim to have AI PCs. The degree to which they actually have an AI PC is debatable. It depends on what you mean by an AI PC.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the key question, because I was at CES. That was one of the big research agenda items that I had. And I did ask most of them, minus, of course, Apple, what they meant by AI PC. And, you know, I mean, just to keep the record straight here, I mean, there's a lot of people who there's some people who are actually going, well, when's Apple going to come out with the AI PC? You know, the fact of the matter is they've had an MPU with the first M1 processor. And right. So technically they were the
first
with AI Mac.
Yeah.
Did they make a big deal out of it? Actually, they did. But I don't think anyone really gave it much regard at that
point. Yeah, I think they were probably just a little too early, you know? But now it's like, Intel announced their AI PC in December. And
the Core Ultra, right? Intel made a big deal out of their vector processing unit. That a lot of that is really focused on like sort of computer vision.
Yes,
whereas you get a lot of the bulk of AI is related to that. I think the thing that kind of changed the script a lot significantly was generative AI, with everyone trying to show off that they can run a large language model on device. Right.
Right. Right. And it depends on what you mean by large, right? I mean, something less than 20 billion parameters.
Yeah.
It might be 8 billion. People are kind of gravitating on Llama 2, because it has lots of different models and different sizes. And so you can always say you support Llama 2, but how big of a Llama 2? But the thing that I think your audience may not quite get is, or maybe they do, and I'm out of step, but there's lots of claims of performance from all four vendors.
Yeah.
And when they say they have so many TOPS, trillion ops per second, that's not necessarily what the NPU is delivering. Yeah. That's an aggregate number typically.
Right.
I got an NPU and I have a GPU. And oh, by the way, oh yeah, I've got some vector processing in my CPU. So we'll throw that in there.
Yeah.
You know, so this is one of the reasons that ML Commons, which is, of course, the data center-centric benchmarking organization that everybody participates in, even if they don't publish benchmarks, they've come out with a working group now try to sort all this out. Say, okay, we're going to find a set of benchmarks that are useful on the desktop, and they don't say it literally, but everybody's invited, including Apple, if they want to attend. Apple right now is not a member of the working group, but the other three chip providers are, and they're going to come up with a set of benchmarks that will be real world, indicative of real world performance. And then we can get past all this TOPS crap and talk about what people can really get done on a desktop or a laptop with one of these processors.
Yeah, but you know, Carl, you're not allowed to say crap on my podcast. Come on.
Edit that out.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You can say crap. It's fine. I think you're making a great point. And you're right. A lot of the TOPS numbers that are being published, it's aggregate. A lot of that has to do, I think, with the fact that a lot of the chip companies early on, they want to be able to make a statement about the capacity that's available because to handle AI workloads, because AI workloads are very diverse. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the biggest problems we have right now is how people are using the term AI. I don't think that people know what they're talking about, especially the media. I think it has become so convoluted. People are talking past each other, and you know, establishing these benchmarks are going to be really important because hopefully what we'll be able to do is clarify, number one, what we're measuring in terms of AI, because it's so diverse. There's all different types of methods, machine learning methods, all types of deep learning methods that are stacked on top of each other, and to lay claim to who's the best, I think is going to be challenging, but it's also important, I think, for audiences, mine as well, yours, as well as yours, to understand that we need to also be clear that AI is diverse, and we need to be clear about what we mean by it.
Yep.
And so when we talk about the AI PC, there is that big question mark. I mean, coming out of CES, there is no clarity. And in fact, and I'll say that I know a lot of, hey guys, don't get mad at me. I'm just pointing out that you need to do a little bit of more homework.
Yeah. And hopefully that's what
just don't know what AI PC is and why it's important. And in particular, they're making it very difficult for anyone, including analysts, to explain why an AI PC matters. And if it boils down to just being able to run a large language model on device, well, guess what? Here's one thing that I've discovered over the course of the last 6 months. These co-pilots that Microsoft is shopping around don't run on device.
No, they're all in the cloud.
Yeah. So what good is all this compute if the killer application, or what Microsoft is pushing to be the killer application, runs in the cloud?
I think that's a kind of a statement of where we are in the evolution of AI. It takes too much processing power to reliably put it onto a PC or a Mac. So they're going to do it in the cloud.
Yeah.
The cost will drive them to the edge. They will end up supporting at least a portion of things like Copilot on device because they're free, right? Yeah. Azure doesn't have to pay the money to run the servers to run those models. At least a portion of those models, smaller versions of the models. Yeah. I'm really excited about what Qualcomm Snapdragon X Elite is going to do here because they potentially have the highest performance. And again, we don't know, right? But they have 45, they claim 45 TOPS. And it's not clear what's in there, right? Is that just the hexagon NPU or is that
included? Yeah, I thought it was 70. I thought it was like through the roof.
Oh, I'm sorry. Seventy tops.
70, yeah.
70 tops.
45 just for hexagon, and then like
45 is just for hexagon, but the total is 75.
Yeah.
So that compares to, let's say, AMD, which has 39 tops all in. That's everything. So 39 really compares to 75. But again, you know, I say top stands for terribly overused performance statistic. It's meaningless. You couldn't come up with a worse way. It's kind of like MIPS in the old IBM mainframe days, right?
Yeah.
You can't really do anything with that. But I think by the end of this year, we will have, I hope, ML Commons defined benchmarks, and at least the Windows community will benefit from that. I don't know if the Mac community will or not. Doesn't look like it at this point, but hopefully I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, and I think one of the cool things, and I'm trying to think whether or not Qualcomm really pioneered this. I mean, they have an AI engine. Intel's done some interesting stuff with ThreadDirector and the architecture of Core Ultra that I think is pretty novel. I mean, for instance, you know, like the efficiency cores are placed on, the tiles where they have the MPU. And so what ThreadDirector does is then it basically routes workloads to the appropriate tile that could best handle that particular type of AI workload. And so, I think, one of the things that I had a chat with Ian Cutrist, and, he stated that, well, technically any PC with a GPU is an AI PC, right? And that is true. But here with the MPU, you have a much more efficient, an efficient IP that's sitting on die that can handle AI workloads much more power efficiently. And so, having this, let's call this overlay, orchestration overlay that can manage from the OS level down to the silicon, help direct where the workloads go so that you get the most performance out of the entire device. I think that's really kind of architecturally the big deal, especially for the PC world. Apple's already been doing that for the last 3 years.
And the Qualcomm Snapdragon X Elite has that as well in the AI.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have their AI stack. They have the AI engine that they've inherited through all the work that, Qualcomm has been doing through their whole Snapdragon for mobile portfolio. So a lot of that legacy for mobile is actually defining what the AI PC is. Yeah. Whether you're doing it on a SoC or you're using more of a tiled or chiplet architecture,
Yeah. I think, for me, the difference will come down to software. As users, we don't care if you're using a vector processor or a deep learning, deep neural network engine. What I care about is what is it going to do for me? And so if you look, I think it's important to look, Intel's done a really good job of building up an ecosystem, starting to build an ecosystem around AI applications or AI enhanced applications that run on a Windows PC. On their chips. I think AMD's also done a pretty good job there. And this is where Qualcomm has the most ground to make up. Since it's not an x86, a lot of the applications will run in emulation mode, and that kind of relies on Microsoft to make the emulator fast enough that you don't care. And we know it can be done, right? Yeah. I mean, I use Macs. I can't tell you whether an application I'm going to run on my Mac is in emulation mode or has been recompiled to run on the M processor. And I shouldn't care. That's the ideal thing. But it's all going to come down to software. Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had a chat. I had that chat with Gerard Williams at Snapdragon Summit, and one of the things that he mentioned was that their SoC is going to have so much headroom, and that their emulator is going to be so efficient. Basically on par with like what Rosetta 2 for the Mac is, that you're really not going to be able to tell a difference. But, you know, when you start to talk about more of the performant demanding workloads and then and applications, and that's definitely where, Qualcomm needs to get Microsoft to natively support their processor. Yep. Their stack, and in particular, I agree with you, the AI stack, because Qualcomm's AI stack is unique, especially between the OS and the chipset itself, right? And I think the good news for Qualcomm is that they do have a pretty mature stack. It's just a matter of, will Microsoft support that stack and then provide native support? And if they can do that, then I think Qualcomm's in a very competitive position. But that being said, I think straight off the gate, I mean, you know, the thing is, Core Ultra is here today.
Mm-hmm.
X Elite is going to be here probably in H2 of 2024. So at least, 6 months. Now that's when you're going to maybe see the earliest, devices come to market with that chipset. But that's where I think Intel still has that advantage, even over AMD. It's that they have that relationship and the software to tap in an optimal way. What they've built in and designed into the Core Ultra portfolio processors.
So. Yeah, I agree. One of the things I like about what AMD's done is it's one of the first substantive material outcomes of the acquisition of Xilinx, because the NPU in the new Ryzen, they all come from Xilinx, and it's not just the hardware, it's the software stack that Xilinx has been investing in for, 8 years to run inference processing on a reconfigurable processor, right? And now AMD has worked with that technology to adapt it to become part of the Ryzen chipset. So I like that story. It's a good story of the synergies they've been able to realize from the Xilinx acquisition.
Yeah, well, they technically in the x86 world, they're the first guys to come out with a quote unquote AI PC.
Yeah, they were.
Right? I mean, last year at MWC, CES 2023. Yeah, I attended the AMD. Press event where they announced the 7000 series for mobile, and this year they announced
8400.
For the desktops as well. So they've graduated the architecture to desktops. Now, how much that's going to benefit? I can get it for mobile, like a laptop or portables, simply because, if you have more of these AI applications and workloads running on device, then for the purpose of battery life, I mean, the power efficiency it has a significant non-functional benefit, right? For desktop, I don't know if that's going to be noticeable in any meaningful way, other than maybe at the end of the month, your electric bill.
Yeah, it's less important for the desktop, because your desktop's almost always connected to the internet. So if you run some AI, you just throw it up in the cloud. The end users don't care, shouldn't know. They're just looking for new functionality. I think the Office Copilot is really exciting, but it has nothing to do with AI PCs, as you correctly pointed out.
Well, unfortunately, at the moment, I mean, you can consume it on a Mac, In fact, Vision Pro. They Microsoft announced that they're gonna support, well, they already have an application, all the suite of Office applications and Copilot. So yeah, but that puts the onus on the marketing teams at these chip companies to think a little bit deeper about what is an AI PC and why people should care. Again, hey, we love you guys, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to tell it like it is, right? Yeah.
I think right now it's a bright, shiny object, and everybody doing PC chips has to be able to salute that flag. And but we have not seen the compelling applications that would cause a buy cycle to happen. I get this question a lot from investors. Yeah. Is this going to cause an upgrade cycle for PCs? And what I tell investors is no, not this year. I don't think so. Now, if you are doing if you've got an upgrade in your plans for the year, you may look at, well, how much is it going to cost me to get an AI PC, because maybe I'll need it next year.
Yeah.
So for future-proofing the platform, it will be important. But I think the real story this year is going to be Office Copilot, which doesn't need an AI PC at all.
Yeah, yeah. But for enterprises, I think they should start to think a little bit more about hybrid AI architectures. Mm-hmm. Call it edge infrastructure, infused AI solution concepts. I think that's where things like all the big concerns about privacy and enterprise confidentiality can start to be addressed. It doesn't have to be technically in the cloud, meaning public cloud, or served by a behemoth like Microsoft as a SaaS or PaaS. You can have it resident, and then as we see these emerging edge AI architectures and technologies start to form, and then you can start to look at how you deploy and implement AI applications in a different way that is maybe not public cloud dependent. Centralized, it can be a little bit more distributed for whatever benefit that provides you. And I think for industrial companies that are looking at deploying more intelligence out toward the edge, this is something that's just part of the continuum of what they've been trying to do. But there's this whole new opportunity, right? Especially with these more power efficient AI, AI computing processors. So,
yeah. Well, it sounds like we've been unable to find a lot of things we disagree on this topic. We'll have to. Another topic a little more controversial next time.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to blame it on you.
That's fine.
Yeah, I depend on you to disagree with me.
I'll work hard on that.
Yeah, so we'll have to think about a different topic. But hey, everyone, thanks for so much for joining us and listening in this conversation. I think it's an important one for the industry because everyone's talking AI PC. I don't think a lot of people know what it is, including the people who are promoting AI PC. I don't know what you think. If you agree or not, maybe that's something that we can disagree on right now, Carl.
No, I agree. I think of all the vendors, the only company I've heard that has a really good vision of what an AI PC is actually Qualcomm.
Yeah. And I'll be nice to everybody. Everyone still has a lot of work to do. Let's leave that. So yeah, we disagree about slightly, not too much, but I think we need to find something much more controversial.
Okay, I'll work on it.
Yeah,
okay. Talk to you again, Leonard. Take care.
Yeah. So, Carl, thanks. Thanks again. Great discussion. Before we leave, quickly tell our audience how they can get in touch with you and tap into your
research. Carl with a K. Freund, Freund, at Cambrian-AI.com. Cambrian AI Research is the name of my firm. You can also just go to my website And there's lots of articles and stuff on my website about what's happening in the AI world, primarily data center focus.
Yeah, no, I highly recommend this gentleman. And he's always just incredibly fun to talk to and just simply knows his stuff. So please subscribe to the Next Curve YouTube channel. The easiest thing to do is subscribe to the Next Curve Research Portal and Media Center at www.next-curve.com. And follow us for a constant diet of the tech and industry insights that matter. Carl, we'll see you later, all right?
Soon. Take care.